is Movies On Up, coming to you from a vast and distant galaxy, a space adventure like no other. The co-pilot on all of my podcast adventures, seated right across from me, Mr. Dave Becella.
Nanu, nanu.
Yeah, that's the Mork to my Mindy. Dave, I'm Ryan. We are Movies On Up.
I was trying to, I forgot the noise Chub Chub makes or whatever his name is.
Chub Chub?
I don't know. He's a Star Wars
Chewbacca.
Character.
No. Nia Noob.
That's it.
Yeah, I gotcha. Odiate. From a distant and from a vast and distant galaxy, a space adventure like no other. That is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, and it's a bit out there.
It's out there in a galaxy far, far away.
Kind of. It's a ripoff of A Galaxy Far, Far Away starring David Hasselhoff. So if that helps you out, God bless you. If you can deduce what movie that comes from, let us know in one of the three following ways. Email moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your answer directly at Mr. Dave at moviesonup if you are correct. And if we choose you, a prize package may crash its way into your mailbox. But I mean,
crash
to your mailbox. Yeah, it's
we're
not,
all over the place.
It's not Flash.
I don't even know what this
either.
Episode's about.
Yeah, well, I'm here to tell you. It is our monthly Star Wars episode, and finally this month we're into the good ones. We're going to be doing episode 4, also known as Star Wars from 1977, A New Hope, for those of you that were around a little bit after that. It's somewhat of a small movie that perhaps some people haven't seen. We might not have been breaking ground with Attack of the Clones. I feel like this movie, Star Wars, maybe some people haven't seen. It came out in limited release May 25th, 1977, came out in wide release. July 15th of that year was number one at the box office with a take of $6.8 million. That was number one. I can't tell you
what a bomb.
Yeah, exactly. $6.8 million. There's no way in hell I'm going to make a sequel, let alone several. It made $6.8 the first week. It went on to make a little bit more than that. Domestically, the movie has grossed $460 million. Worldwide, it's up to $775 million, which, what a bomb. Domestic, the 460, puts it at number seven all time on the domestic charts. And as we do from time to time, Dave, can you guess the movie that is at number six? And you ought to be able to, because we did a podcast on it, I would say about 3 months ago.
Chronicle?
No, it is a fantastic movie. Actually, a movie that you might actually like Chronicle more than the number six. And it is Star Wars Episode One,
oh, yeah.
The Phantom Menace. The movie.
It's been 3 months?
Well, I mean, we
this is episode four.
Yeah, we do Star Wars every month. So the number eight movie, the movie directly below it, came out this year.
Is it?
You've got a 50-50 shot, and it's the one that actually.
Jurassic World.
No!
Avengers 2.
Avengers 2. Jurassic World is actually fourth on the all-time domestic list as of right now, and it may pass the Avengers for third place. That's crazy balls to me. And what's interesting about this year when it comes to box office, and specifically box office all time, we've already got, as of right now, the number four movie in Jurassic World. It's made $614 million. It's about $9 million behind the Avengers to move into third place. Age of Ultron is at $455 million. So those two movies are in the top 10. I've heard tell that we have another Star Wars movie.
Here's the thing. I mentioned on one of these Star Wars episodes, I said if any movie could beat Avengers opening,
yeah,
it would be Episode 7.
Sure.
And I think you had a little doubt in it. After seeing what Jurassic World did, does Star Wars 220, 225, like, it's got to blow away Jurassic World, right? It has to, correct?
It could be really scary. I still feel like if any movie's going to do it, not that Jurassic World didn't do it, but, you know, if any movie can possibly do, I still think that Star Wars has a shot to do it. I feel better seeing what Jurassic World did. But, I mean, we could very realistically and very conservatively have three of the highest grossing films of all time come out this year. And come really, I mean, since what May is when the very beginning of May was Avengers, and then was it June for Jurassic World, and then obviously towards the end of the year.
But We've got to. I mean, we're hitting that point where I mean,
Hunger Games is 12. We've got a Hunger Games coming
up. Like
this year
is a whole new. I mean, this could be a whole episode about this because we're hitting next year. Civil War is going to crack that top 10. We're at a point now where every year you're going to have at least one or two just because of ticket prices and what people are doing.
Right, one or two. Okay, I mean, I'll give you that. If you look at the top 10, Avatar is one, 2009. It's supplanted Titanic, which had been there since 97. Avengers at three from 2012. Jurassic World from this year. Dark Knight at 2008. Episode 1, 99. Episode 4, 77. Age of Ultron from this year. Dark Knight Rises, 2012. Shrek at 2004. That's not necessarily, we don't really have a 2014 movie, a 2013 movie. I really think that this year has been an incredible outlier. I don't know that we're going to see three movies in the top, because it's going to be harder and harder to get into the top 10. You're going to have to make more and more money.
And I mean, we called this. Like, how long have we been talking about, like, 2015 is going to break records?
Yeah.
Because there is so much. And I mean, we pointed at Star Wars, Jurassic World, Avengers 2. Like, I mean, maybe we didn't predict they were all going to be in top 10 of all time, but we knew this was going to be a big year.
Yeah, and to me, that's, you know, we're talking about ticket prices and seeing things in 3D, you know, like Age of Ultron or Jurassic World. You know, you got your IMAX ticket prices and everything. And still, as much as Age of Ultron had going for it, it's still $5 million behind Star Wars from 77. Now, I know that you've got other releases of that movie that are probably counted into this, but we never really use this argument because it doesn't really seem to fit. But if you would just for inflation, Star Wars is the second highest grossing movie of all time by a large margin. I mean, it's $200 million behind Gone with the Wind. But adjusted for inflation, Star Wars is $1.4 billion domestically. We talk about all these newer movies with higher ticket prices coming out and jumping in the top 10, but Star Wars is still in there. To me, that's I don't feel like I need to justify the fact that Star Wars is a good movie or that the franchise is great and it means a lot to a lot of people when you can literally just point to that and say it's still in the top 10. And really, the only movie anywhere close to it is E.T. at 11 from 82. Everything else is, gosh, Titanic's like the old man on that list from 97. But
like the old lady floating on a boat of that list.
Exactly. And because the movie has made a little bit of money, I do feel like most people have seen it. Usually when we do movie episodes, there's a particular angle that we want to take. If it's a smaller movie that people haven't seen, yeah, then we may go and do a little bit of plot and some performances. But I don't think we need to do that with Star Wars. I mean, to me, when you say Star Wars, there's so many things that flash through my head. It is Luke Skywalker. It's Han Solo. It's Darth Vader. It's the Death Star. Like, it's all these things. And I don't think that we need to talk to people about that. So I was kind of at a loss as to, shit, how are we going to do an entire episode on a movie that what more can you say about Star Wars? It's been around, you know, for damn near 40 years.
I have kids. They're 6, 4, 3, and 3 months. The older ones that aren't a little tiny month-old baby, they know Star Wars. Like, they know Darth Vader. They know Yoda. They know Chewie. Like, and it's weird because I feel like they knew that before I even watched the movies with them. So it's,
I do think that it's in such, like, the cultural awareness.
It's just, you'd know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where I first learned about Star Wars. I really don't.
Oh, yeah. Mine was my family and my brother.
Oh,
but
yeah. I mean, you had an older brother. I was the older brother. I don't know if my parents kind of showed me. I remember having Empire on a VHS tape. That was the first Star Wars movie I saw cover to cover. But it's almost like it's imprinted on you right out of the womb. But I was really kind of lost as to what we were going to do. And then I kind of got bailed out by Comic-Con. They released, and I don't want to call it, it's not really a teaser. It might be a featurette. Maybe that's a good way to put it. It didn't talk about necessarily any new characters. It didn't really go into detail about the plot or the new locations. To me, it was a very intentional message to Star Wars fans of a certain age. One of the things that we really, and I don't think it's just us, the public, really kind of didn't appreciate or didn't like about the prequel trilogy is it felt very digital. It felt cold. It didn't feel like Star Wars. It didn't have that same kind of magic. And I think that even since Abrams has been involved, he's gone out of his way to kind of assure people that, hey, here's puppets. We're actually going to some location. These are the droids you're looking for. This is going to feel like it felt in 1977.
I mean, we joke about how this, we're just in like autopilot mode on this podcast and we don't remember episodes we do. One of my favorite memories is when we were doing news episodes, we would outline things. We would spend hours each week like outlining and we would have a strict format that we would follow. But the day they announced that they were making more Star Wars, the second you got out of the car when you got to my house when we were recording there, outlines changed. Like, and that basically all we talked about was Star Wars. And the first name to come to mind was like, oh, J.J. Abrams has to. That was the first
name.
He's
doing Star Trek.
He's doing Star Trek. There's no way. And it just worked. There are great directors out there. I think Matthew Vaughn would have been a good choice. Mm-hmm. I think Gareth Edwards doing the spinoff is great. Ryan Johnson's doing episode 8. That'll be great. But I think in order to get that first one right, only two people could do that. And it's J.J. Abrams or even Joss Whedon.
I would say Joss, yeah.
Like, those two are not just great filmmakers. They have their finger on the pulse better than anybody else out there as far as not just nerd culture, but pop culture. Because, you know, Joss Whedon is one of the nerdiest guys around. Mm. The Avengers, I don't think, are nerd movies. They're two of the top 10 movies of all time.
Like, crossover.
He crossed over. J.J. has that ability as well. He took me. I don't care about Star Trek. I have no interest in Star Trek. I love those movies. Mm. I love both of them, the Cumberbatch one and the other one.
Into Darkness and Star Trek.
Yeah, and I feel like he gets it. It's not a paycheck for him. I feel like so many filmmakers out there don't understand what they're getting into a lot of times. He does. He understands that it's not a matter of this movie's going to do well or it's not. Episode 7 is bigger than that. It's bigger than, is this movie going to make a profit or is it not? This is impacting pop culture. If you do your job, 50 years from now, they're talking about this movie.
Because that's,
this is a I don't want to speak in hyperbole, but and I don't feel like I am. This is a historical event. Episode 7, you have to duplicate what Episode 4 did. Because Episode 4 did it without any, they did it out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You're not coming out of nowhere. You have to perform like that. And you perform like that, I mean, that's still a top 10 movie. You perform like that now, you're creating a new top 10. They got it right with J.J. And the first set footage he put out of him saying, like, hey, I'm on the set of Star Wars, there was a puppet in the background. Everything they've done has made it a point to show, like, calm down, guys. We're in good hands. The trailer, but they've been very careful about what they release. And, you know, the casting was this long process. And it's in good hands. I really do feel like it's in good hands.
And I do think that everything that is Star Wars, whether it's a new movie or whether it's a book, comic, game, whatever, it all does get compared back to the original because it was a landmark event.
If Michael Jordan had a son that was a great ball player and Michael Jordan's son had a son that was an even better ball player, every one of those, no matter how many generations, are going to be compared to Michael Jordan.
Right.
I don't know if that analogy makes sense to anywhere outside of my head, but that's your granddaddy. That is it. Mm-hmm. Like, even if Episode 7 makes $3 billion, it's still going to be compared to this movie that has made $460 million domestically.
That made, you know, three-quarters of $1 billion.
So it's always going to be compared to that. And
I mean, really, when you get down to it, Star Wars was nominated for Best Picture that year. Not only did it make a lot of money, but the Academy sat back, and this was before they were, you know, nominating.
Before they had their thumbs up their ass. And
well, it was before they were nominating 10 movies, when you could say, all right, well, yeah, what the hell? We'll put a sci-fi movie like District 9 on there or something. This movie just absolutely, like you said, kind of came out of nowhere. There had been science fiction movies before that. But when you mentioned if they do this one right, that this could be something that we're talking about 40, 50 years from now. Well, Star Wars did that. It's 2015. And we're just a couple years away from it being the 40th anniversary. I flew across the country to go to a Star Wars convention on the 30th anniversary of A New Hope, and we're nearing another decade after that. Yeah, that's what you have to live up to. And I think that by showing the puppet and the footage that they showed at Comic-Con really does let you know that we understand what makes you still love Star Wars. It has that feel. And basically, what he's doing is saying, in 2015, we're making a movie that's going to remind you of something that came out in 1977. Where else do you see that? Where, you know, you have to make sure you do things the same way. You have to harken back to grandma's original recipe, which is 38 years old.
To be fair, he has an advantage over the prequels because you are throwing Luke Skywalker in there.
The characters that we've loved for 40 years.
Where the prequels, you don't get to do that. You're starting from scratch. So not to just bash Lucas's prequels. Like, Abrams is getting...
We've done that.
He's getting set up for success. Right. And as much as I said when it came out, like, I just want to see the world after all this. Like, I don't want it to be fan service-y. I don't want Skywalker and Solo to be such big parts of the cast that it takes away from a new story. Like, I don't want them to feel tied down to that. But you know what? Fuck me if Han Solo walking in and saying, "Chewie, I'm home," doesn't give me goosebumps every time I see it. And just thinking about it gives me goosebumps. Like, I realize we're talking about a movie, and we're still like 4 months out from it. And this is how I feel.
4 months out, but it's not like this movie is a sequel to the 1970s. Like, there were a couple that came in between that. But it kind of makes you, as big of a success as Star Wars was, Empire was a big success, and Jedi was a very successful movie. I mean, they're not top 10 movies of all time in terms of box office.
Even though Empire is the superior movie.
Yeah, I mean, you can make that. And that may be how we attack that episode next month, is why is it better? And I might, just for argument's sake, take the point of that A New Hope is the best, and it's not my favorite. But, you know, it's not a direct sequel, but I sort of like the fact that it's taken 40 years, and I haven't been alive for all that time, but I do feel like, even with the prequels, I know I got new Star Wars stories and I liked them, but I don't feel like I've had that next Star Wars story since I've been a kid. And that's why I am so excited about this one, because it does feel like this is more of what I love, and it may even be better that it's taken so long, because now we get those characters. You know, we get Luke Skywalker, but he's a much older character.
He's the same age that Obi-Wan was.
Absolutely.
Jason West, he sent this email a while ago. He just had some comments on the Star Wars episodes, but then he brings up some really good points to what you're saying now, to where, like, yeah, we got new Star Wars. In between Jedi and Episode One, we didn't really have anything. Mm-hmm. There were books. But he brings up the point, the gap between 6 and 1 was huge, and there was really no content filling that gap. There's pretty much been new animated stuff constantly since Episode 3, so I wonder if the public will have the same starved for Star Wars feeling they had going into Episode 1. It's a valid point.
Absolutely.
We had no Star Wars from Jedi to Phantom Menace.
You know, outside of the special edition releases, which, goodness knows, I ran out to see those because I didn't get to see any of the Star Wars movies in a theater because I was born in 1984, which is after Jedi released. So, yeah, I voraciously ran out to see those because that was my chance to see Star Wars on the big screen. And he's right. Outside of the books, which didn't even come around till about the time the special edition started.
Yeah, the re-releases.
That's really when those books hit their heyday, but I think that the fact that we have cartoons, they haven't been the most successful things ever, but I think the diehards are the ones that are consuming those cartoons, and you bet your ass we'll all be in line waiting. But I think the rank and file people, I do think that excitement will be there. I really do.
I don't think the average person on the street is watching Star Wars Rebels.
No, absolutely.
I don't think the average person on the street watched Clone Wars.
Right.
I think they're aware they exist.
Maybe.
But I don't think the average Star Wars fan that loves the movies, I don't think they're active enough to seek out these cartoons. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like Clone Wars. Rebels is fantastic, but it's not it's Firefly in the Star Wars world. Like, right. It's not focusing on any of the characters that you... They show up occasionally, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have the characters you know. So it's a valid point. We do have content, but are people going for that content is the thing. And
I don't think it's going to deter any of the excitement. I really don't.
It's a valid point to bring up, but I really don't think so. If anything, it makes the younger generation excited for it, where without the cartoons, there may be 8-9-year-olds that don't know about Star Wars.
Yeah, or, you know, their parents just, I mean, if I had an 8-9-year-old and there was no cartoons to watch, goodness knows, we would just watch all 6 films and do that ad nauseum, which we'd probably end up doing anyway. But when you think about from 77 to now, like, how many franchises, anything in pop culture is still relevant over 40 years and relevant to such an extent?
There's franchises that are a fraction of the age that have been rebooted.
Oh, yeah.
In the last 16 years, you know, by the time it comes out, in a 20-year span, we will have 3 different Spider-Man incarnations. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we're not remaking Star Wars.
Right.
We're not remaking A New Hope. We're not starting a new Star Wars story.
We didn't recast Luke Skywalker.
We're continuing. Yeah. 40 years later, we're doing that. And in this time of Hollywood where 10 years, you know, a movie made in 1994 is due to be remade this year without Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze, like, we're at that point where there's no lifespan on anything. Like,
there's another movie that came out in 1994, I think, that got a, not necessarily a reboot, but got a good spiffing up this year that did pretty well.
Yeah.
Or was that 93? When did Jurassic Park come out?
92, I thought.
92, yeah, whatever.
90s movie.
Yeah, whatever.
The fact that it's 40 years later and people want to continue that story. They don't want to start that story over. They want to continue that story. That if you see that Episode 7 trailer in a theater, the reaction...
Which when, I just did.
When Han and Chewie come in, that's something special. That's what movies are supposed to be. I mean, art. That's what anything. That's what you want is that reaction from people.
And we can shit talk George Lucas all we want.
And I'm trying not to.
No, I know. But you're not, you know, you and I aren't the only people that do it. And when we do it, absolutely, there's reasons, valid reasons behind doing it. And I kind of said the same thing when we got into the, really the pits of the prequel episodes.
Sarlacc pits.
The Sarlacc pits of the prequel episodes, that, you know, as bad as they may be or as much as they may disappoint us, George Lucas still gave me Star Wars. He gave me Han Solo that 40 years later when he does show up, and it's not just him, when the Millennium Falcon shows up in the trailer. Like, that's a character. And you feel so excited about that. I mean, what this guy did to still be something that... Not only do we still care about, you know, like, we may still care about Captain America, who's been around since the 60s. We want a continuation of that same story, these same characters we still love. We love the fact, I don't give a shit that it's an old Han Solo. I'm cool with that. I think he might be cooler now than he was in 1977. And that's just, to completely create something like that, I think it's phenomenal. And it's something that I don't think we see too much anymore. We get adaptations and reboots, but nothing that's...
And we don't get any of that without that little movie from 1977 that we're talking about this episode. Like, this is probably the least we've ever talked about the actual movie the episode's on, but in a way, it's all we've talked about because it spawned everything. Without this movie... And Ryan said at the beginning, we don't need to talk about the plot of this. We don't need to talk about why it's good, why we like it, why it's as successful as this, because you know all that. It's bigger than that. Episode 7 is going to be something special.
I think it is, because I think that the guys in charge now are able and willing to basically just stick to the script. And now... Star Wars is being made, and even the cartoons. I really liked Clone Wars. It definitely had its moments. But Star Wars now is being made by guys that grew up on it. And it means a lot to them. The guys that were making Empire Strikes Back had no idea. I mean, yeah, they had probably seen Star Wars. They knew it was super successful, but it had only been around by the time the movie came out for 3 years. So it was just a fun, successful movie. Let's see if we can make a sequel to it. And, you know, we'll make a sequel after that. But everybody involved now, I mean, grew up worshiping at the altar of Star Wars. And it seems in every decision they make to use practical effects, to the ball droid they have in this, they built that thing. It's not CG.
It's not, yeah.
No,
it's,
I mean,
they built the robot.
Yeah, they had it wheeling around at Celebration, and you're like, oh shit, how easy would that have been to do, you know, CG? But they didn't. It's real, it exists, it's tangible. And I think that's really what makes Star Wars to this day kind of such a wonder, because everything does feel like it's tangible. I'm sure there are a lot of, you know, nuanced differences between, you know, the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy, but to me, without being able to be very specific, that's kind of what was missing, was that flavor of the original. And it does seem like with what they released at Comic-Con, it's like everybody can relax. I know you got really hyped for Episode 1 and you kind of got burned a little bit, but guess what? We were all there with you. Like, we saw what happened, and we know how we can fix this because we know how you would fix it. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's why I think, like, J.J. and Joss would be the only two. I think Rian Johnson, I think there's talk of Trevorrow doing Episode 9. I think it's in great hands from here. Like, I trust any director they have, but J.J. had to be that one to kick it off.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny, and I know you guys mentioned it on your first news episode, but that Lord and Miller are doing the young Han Solo. I think that's great that you have, and Gareth Edwards doing his standalone. Like, I just think that these are really interesting directors. I love Rian Johnson, so I'm thrilled that he's doing a Star Wars movie. I love his stuff anyway. It really just kind of blows the mind how you can have something that lasts for, I mean, we've had, you know, the Harry Potter movies that were super successful for 10, 15
years.
Watch
them grow up, literally.
Exactly. And I kind of feel like that's a little bit what we're seeing with Star Wars. I mean, you watched them in a very short span, and then, you know, kind of we're seeing, like, Harry Potter at 50 years old. I don't know for Harry Potter. I don't know if he becomes a wizard master or whatever. And if we tried and argue next month about how Star Wars might be better than Empire, I feel like I just can point to this episode for a lot of it. It's just amazing what has sort of sprung from this really weird sci-fi movie from late 70s.
We said we don't know what to say about Star Wars, and then we've just rambled for a while. But if you haven't seen Star Wars, you should watch it.
I've heard it's pretty good, yeah. And there are some other ones you may want to watch. They're available now. I don't think they're on Netflix. I think you have to go to the iTunes.
And just remember, Han shot first.
Yeah, no matter what you see.
No matter what you see. What we're talking about now is the 1977 Star Wars.
Right.
The re-release, still a great movie, kind of lost some of that magic because some of the stuff that was great about that, you're trying to spice it up a little bit, like the CG Jabba,
yeah,
the transition scenes that looked like they were out of the prequels. I didn't like that.
The digitization.
Yes.
Of, yeah.
The 77 version, that's Star Wars to me. That's the only version of Star Wars to me.
Absolutely. And you have to work kind of hard to see that now. It's not on the Blu-rays. They did a DVD release that had the original theatrical cut and the special editions on there. But there again, what movie do you know that there's been a director's cut or whatever, and it's pissed people off so much because, no, that's not how I had it. Han shot first, or there is no Jabba in this one. I think that just shows how rabid, not that you need to know how rabid Star Wars fans are, but just how much they kind of take a certain amount of ownership of the movie, and heaven help you if you fuck with it. And you would think the Greedo shooting first, like that really wouldn't mean very much, but we attach so much meaning to everything that's on the screen that, oh my God, you've totally altered the character of Han Solo. He goes from being this dangerous, badass space pirate
to a self-defense guy.
Yeah. And I'm not sure what the motivation was behind, you know, changing something like that, but It just goes to show that like, every little thing you mess with on this movie, people are going to notice because they've seen it a time or two. I was going to say, like, if you like the fact that Greedo shot first, we'd love to hear from you. But
I'd rather not.
Yeah, I don't think you people exist. And if you do, I don't want to hear about it because it's just going to make me mad and I'm going to want to throw something at you. I would love, and I don't know that we're necessarily set up to be able to do it, but I would kind of like to hear, you know, if you have a Star Wars story, like what it is.
Email it to us.
Yeah, if it's, and I'm not saying, you know, we'd read them on the show or anything, but like, I would like to hear about it. It's obviously a very personal thing for me. I love me some Star Wars. I'm not bashful about saying that. And I always envy people when I hear folks that got to see this in 1977 and were waiting in line to see Empire and, spoiler alert, flip their shit when they got to the end of that. I'm so jealous of that because outside of Episode 7, that's probably the closest I'm going to be to, like, I don't know anything that's going to happen. I don't know that this guy has to die in this movie because he's not around in the next one. It's completely, everything's wide open.
Is John Boyega a stormtrooper or a dude disguised as a stormtrooper? Like, I don't know any of this going into it, which is awesome. Like, I know that little annoying kid is going to be Darth Vader. Like, I know nothing. Han Solo could die. I don't know.
He sure could. He sure might.
They'll probably wreck the Millennium Falcon into a golf course. I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
He will land that son of a bitch and walk away from it because he's that goddamn good. But yeah, I mean, if you saw Star Wars opening night in 1977, I would love to hear that story because I genuinely envy people that were able to do that. So if you have some Star Wars stories, let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet some thoughts at us at moviesonup on the Twitter or facebook.com/moviesonup. As we said, next month will be our Empire Strikes Back episode, but we've got an entire month of August ahead of us before we get there. We've got the Fantastic Four movie coming out, which Dave and I are both pretty excited about, so we'll give you our
Fantastic Four movies
list next week, the cast of the new Fantastic Four, and then we've got some other cool episodes leading up to the end of the month, the 25th, which will be our fall-winter preview, and maybe will signal the return of Mike Mann on this particular incarnation of the
podcast.
We'll see.
Listen to our news episodes, myself and Mike
Mann. Which does have Mike Mann. We can
yes.
guarantee that.
Me and Mike Mann. Check me at Dave Bacella, DaveBacella.com, podcast.com. But until whatever next week is.
Fantastic Four.
Keep it up.